In recent days, there have been a lot of celebrations and commemorations surrounding the event of the first landing on the moon and the first human steps made on the Earth's satellite. Ito yung nangyari noong July 20, 1969, that makes it the 40th year since. And indeed, it was a great achievement, something that we should remember, something that we should commend the achievement of human science, that it should reach the moon. I still can remember, I was then in grade school, and it was a memorable event. We were asked to give reports in our class. I can still rattle off the names of the three astronauts of the celebrated Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, and Michael Collins. Well, my attention was caught by a statement of Buzz Aldrin, now 79. He was being interviewed, and he said this: "The past 40 years of my life have been shaped by the 21 hours, 36 minutes I spent on the moon." Such a short span of life, such a short span of event, has influenced so much of his life. Now, I will take nothing away from the thrill of the experience, but it is still a disturbing thought. And the reason for this will appear as we come to the next thought in the flash of wisdom that we are considering in the book of Ecclesiastes. Noong nakaraang linggo, dumating tayo sa yugto na kung saan masasabi natin indisputably, this is the most popular part of the book. It is certainly the most quoted. You hear it from businessmen, from politicians, from rabble-rousers, from anyone. Now, that is not to say this is the best understood portion, because it is not. On the contrary, it is very hard to understand. But this is a wonderful flash of wisdom from the preacher that we need to appreciate. Remember, we have followed Ecclesiastes in his quest for understanding of what makes what makes sense of life in the face of brevity. Yan ang kanyang palaisipan. Anong katuturan ang nagbibigay sa buhay na napakaikli? Sinikap niyang subukin ang karunungan. Maaring imagine natin, nagpunta siya sa iba't ibang mga library, nagbukas ng mga libro para siya ay magkaroon ng karunungan. And yet, he tried another possibility, pleasure, mirth. And siguro, naging party goer, nagpunta sa iba't ibang mga gimmick, amusements, etc. But again, he smashes on the same wall. He tried, as we saw some weeks ago, workaholism. Perhaps by being busy, occupied in office, perhaps in business, he can make sense of life. But again and again, in all these things he tried, Ecclesiastes smashes on the same dead-end wall. It's called death. And he finds the major puzzle of life is brevity. Ang pinaka malaking palaisipan ng buhay ay ang kaiklian nito. Isang henerasyon lamang. Ikumpara mo sa pagkapermanente ng mundo, yung isang henerasyon ay parang napakaliit na guhit lamang. At ito ang kanyang nagiging palaisipan. Paano mo masasabing mas lamang ang marunong kaysa sa mangmang, samantalang mamamatay rin siyang gaya ng mangmang? At paulit-ulit ang ganitong mga palaisipan dito sa Ecclesiastes, and in each case, that's the problem. Now, we come to this portion which is a flash of wisdom, and as I explained last week, I have divided my analysis of this important portion between last Lord's Day and today. Last time, I entered into the preacher's point about the various events that transpire in time. He said there is a time for everything, a time for every event. And then he gives us 14 pairs of contrasts. Magkakasalungat na mga bagay. Ang sinasabi niya ay God is sovereign in control of the events in the time of our brief life. And in His sovereign control, He balances opposite events. And He schedules appropriate events. Yan ang kanyang sinasabi sa pagkasoberano ng control ng Diyos sa ating buhay. Well, this Lord's Day, we will look into the preacher's introduction of the concept of eternity. And this is a flash of wisdom. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll now read from verse 9 to verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 15. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So here, the mixture of opposite events that we read from 1 to 8 already suggests the puzzle, perhaps even the confusion that we are subject to. Yung pagkakahalo-halo ng mga pangyayari na parang magkakasalungat, hindi tayo binigyan ng isang uri lamang ng mga pangyayari, mga positibo man o mga negatibo lamang. There is a mixture. But here now, in this text, in the text we read, Ecclesiastes perhaps gives the widest opposite of all in terms of time span. And the opposites are eternity and brevity. Man is the meeting point of eternity and the facts of the brevity of life. Sa tao, nagsalubong, nagtagpo, yung tila hindi maaring paghaluin, yung kawalang hanggan at yung kaiklian. Paano ito napunta sa isang nilalang? Ngunit ganito ang tao, at dito isang makikita natin yung isang bagay na magiging kadahilanan ng maraming palaisipan sa kanya. Now, here, let me first establish that the right word is indeed eternity, because some translations that you may encounter use the sense of long time. May mga salin na ang kanilang ginawang salin lamang dito ay mahabang panahon. And I think that is wrong, because that is exactly the same word said of God a few verses later. Whatever God does endures forever. Exactly the same word in verse 11. When God is said to have put eternity in the heart of man, what is that eternity? The same way that God's deeds are forever. So imagine this. This is the confusion. This is the puzzle. The same man is a man with eternity, and yet that man has to grapple with brevity. Yung tao ay binigyan ng Diyos sa kanyang puso ng kawalang hanggan, ngunit ang tao din yan ay kinakailangang humarap sa katotohanan ng kaiklian. And this is the message I want to draw from this. A sense of eternity in a life of brevity can only be meaningful through relation to God. A sense of eternity in a life of brevity can only be meaningful through relation to God. Yung kamalayan natin ng walang hanggan sa buhay na maikli ay makahulugan lamang sa pamamagitan ng relasyon sa Diyos. And here is an important word, also. After saying, God has made everything beautiful in its time, it is as if the preacher rushes a concept. Also, it follows, he has made everything beautiful in its time. The beauty of it, however, is that the beauty of how everything is beautiful in its time will not appear when isolated from this truth. Eternity in the heart. You and I have a sense of eternity. Ikaw at ako ay may kamalayan ng kawalang hanggan. Ang sabi rito, inilagay ito sa puso natin. Meaning, it is inescapable. Every man has a sense of eternity, and the only way that he can destroy that sense is by extinguishing it, by abusing his humanity. But every human being in his normal humanity cannot escape the sense of eternity. And yet, we have to contend with the brevity of our life. We have to contend with the brevity of our generation. So how does it make sense? It doesn't. It has no sense without God. And there are two things I want us to see. First, inability to know the future. And secondly, opportunity to live the present. So why will this make no sense without God? First of all, because of our inability to know the future. So you have that sense of eternity. God has put eternity in your heart. But then it is followed by this. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Nilagyan tayo ng kawalang hanggan, namamalaya natin na tayo kung paano man ay magtutuloy-tuloy, pero hindi natin mahulaan, hindi natin malaman anong gagawin ng Diyos mula umpisa hanggang katapusan. We live with the future. While animals may have seasonal instincts, only man plans for the future. Ang mga hayop, may seasonal instinct ang mga yan, pero kung titingnan nyo, yung kanyang routine taon-taon ay pare-pareho. Which means it's not plan, it's instinct built in them. Some will fly into the opposite part of the world when winter comes. It's built into them and they do that year after year after year, every seasonal time. Not man. Man plans. Because the future is built into us. But this is the ultimate puzzle. We have a sense of eternity, but the fact of brevity, and they meet in the same human being. So this then is what we have to grapple with. Because of eternity, we have a craving to know the future. But our brevity limits our knowledge. Dahil sa kawalang hanggan, inaasam nating malaman yung hinaharap. Ngunit dahil sa kaiklian, hindi natin kayang malaman. Limitado yung ating kaalaman. And the meeting of these two realities can be painful. It can be puzzling. And there lies the danger. The way some deal with it is by extinguishing the sense of eternity. Yung iba, para walang palaisipan, para walang masakit, tinatanggal nila yung kamalayan ng kawalang hanggan. They may try to define their lives by some short span in which they consider their satisfaction. And this is what's disturbing about Aldrin's statement that the 21 hours, 36 minutes he spent on the moon is what has defined his life. Come on, no matter how thrilling that was, surely there's something more about life than a few steps on the moon. After all, that's just the moon. Eh, pumunta ka sa may mga mall na ngayon na bibigyan ka ng ganyang pakiramdam. So no matter how thrilling the experience, is life to be defined by those 21 hours on the moon? Well, some people extinguish their sense of eternity. It is an abuse. Because no matter how anyone extinguishes the sense of eternity, it is there in the heart. It is inescapable. They try to bury the thought by filling their lives with amusement. Any noise to avoid the quiet. And if amusement does not work, you always have the lifestyle of the workaholic. Work, work, more work. Just drive away the thought of eternity. But no matter what is tried, you see, there will always be pauses. And the silence unbearably reminds us of eternity. So that's what some people do, extinguish the sense of eternity. If I'm speaking to anyone here who's trying your best to just think of the now, you don't want to think of eternity, you don't want to think of death, And you try to fill your thought with just anything, just to avoid, just to drive out the thought of dying and the thought of eternity. It will not work. For God has put in your heart eternity, and you better be prepared for it rather than extinguish it. Others do the opposite. They resort to deceitful ways of knowing the future, even imagining they can control the future. Ang inakala naman ng iba ay pwede nilang malaman yung hinaharap, pwede nilang kontrolin yung kanilang hinaharap. And the selection ranges from the occult, like fortune telling, horoscope, which are demonic methods. When God warned the generation of Isaiah that they were not to resort to these means, Isaiah 8:19 puts it this way: when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? And beware of this, brethren. Isaiah 8:20 follows it with these words: to the law and to the testimony. If anyone does not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So don't be impressed with fortune tellers or horoscopes or whatever other means. Others imagine that someday the future can be controlled by means of science. Someday they can predict the future, perhaps even control it. They rest their hope upon man's genius. Inaakala nila darating ang panahon na ang siyensya ay magkakaroon ng kakayahan na mangibabaw sa hinaharap. But again, just like the disappointment of those who think they can extinguish eternity, so will be the disappointment of those who think the future can be controlled. You and I are creatures of the future. We crave knowledge of the future. Except that we cannot. We cannot even know what's going to happen in a few hours. So what is there to do? Don't extinguish eternity. Don't have the illusion of controlling the future. Instead, what Ecclesiastes tells us here is acknowledge God, submit to Him, the outworking and completion of the future. This is the challenge to us. You're a creature where eternity and brevity meet. What do you do? Well, acknowledge and submit to God in the outworking and completion of the future. Magpasakop ka na lang sa Diyos sa pagkumpleto, sa pagsasagawa, pagsasakatuparan at pagkukumpleto ng hinaharap. Which means that accept both the sense of eternity and the fact of life's brevity. Tanggapin mo yung kamalayan ng kawalang hanggan, pero yung katotohanan din ng kaiklian ng buhay. And then leave to God to masterfully weave His tapestry. And Ecclesiastes says of God's working of the future in verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before Him. What He is saying is simply that God's work is thorough. Lubos-lubos ang gawa ng Diyos. It is not short that it needs adding. It is not too much that it needs taking away. It is simply sorrow. And the effect is that men should fear before Him. Now, this is a fear in the sense of admiration and worship. Kapag tinignan mo yung ginagawa ng Diyos sa panghinaharap na hindi mo malaman, ang dapat na epekto sa atin ay hangaan siya. Sambahin siya. Men should fear before Him. And this is the issue that we may be, without realizing it, displacing from our lives, our personal worship and admiration of God. We may be joining the formal worship of the church, but you ask yourself, do you admire God? Do you have a sense of admiring God's ways? We are surrounded with the works of human genius that intoxicate us into believing human control. And in our craving to know and control the future, we may become vulnerable to false ways of security. And so we think of wisdom in terms of more science. We think of security in terms of more wealth. And we think if we have more of this, we have a more guaranteed future, more happiness. Well, don't forget, Ecclesiastes had plenty of that. Whether wisdom, wealth, and he found he still smashed on the dead-end wall of death. Do not forget the silence of trust that leaves to God the disposing of the future we cannot control. Yung mga hindi natin control, ipaubaya natin sa Diyos. At sa pagpapaubaya natin, samahan natin ang paghanga sa Kanya, ng pagpapasakop sa Kanya. Has He not proven Himself in biblical history, in church history, in many personal histories? We've been talking of John Calvin, a man who suffered much in a personal way. He grieved over the loss of his son. But I just read of the life of one of the men I truly admire in among the Puritans, John Owen. All 11 of his children died in infancy. But no wiser Puritan I know when it came to searching the heart. The tapestry of God in completing the future, even when it hurts, is to the effect that He will use His servant. So the fact that we are unable to know the future is something that we should submit to God. Yung di natin nalalaman na hinaharap ay upang matuto tayo magpasakop sa Diyos. Inability to know the future. Secondly, opportunity to live the present. Instead of undoing what cannot be undone, that is our inability to know the future, there is the present. Andyan yung kasalukuyan mo. And our passage gives a time frame in God that reveals His completely different dimension. He is from beginning to end. Now, it doesn't mean that He has a beginning or an end. It means that from beginning to end, He's been there. Mula umpisa hanggang sa katapusan, nariyan ang Diyos. God owns it. He has been working since and ever. Whereas you and I take a very small segment and put a bracket of beginning and end, a very small segment of what is God's beginning and end. That's our small frame. A very small segment. So what do you expect? Will you know God's work from beginning to end? Of course you cannot. You just accept the fact and let it breed the right attitude. And what is the right attitude? The right attitude is submission to God's work of the future so that we may be active in our present. So nakita natin kanina, we should submit to God for His work of the future, but the point of that is so that we can be rightly active in our present. And what is to be rightly active in our present? Ecclesiastes, in our passage, uses two verbs that spell out in practical terms the attitude of submission to God that makes one actively responsible for the present. And what are those two verbs? Rejoice and do good. Dalawang aksyon, dalawang gawain ng isang aktibo ng angkop sa kanyang kasalukuyan ay may kagalakan, magalak, at gumawa ng mabuti. Rejoice and do good. A person so occupied with his unknown future will find it impossible to rejoice. We call it anxiety. Yung tao na lagi na lang okupado, ano ba mangyayari? Lagi na lang ligalig sa kung ano ang mangyayari. Eh, mahirap siyang mabuhay sa kagalakan. Anxiety today is an epidemic in the world, especially in those who enjoy more of the means of life. The more there is anxiety, the more means, the more amusement, even more anxiety. Oh, instead of this anxiety, Ecclesiastes suggests something that seems so trivial but really is a flash of wisdom. What does he say? Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. And then he says, it is the gift of God. So, sa halip na okupado ka ng mga ikinaliligalig mo, ikinababahala mo, eh matuto kang mag-enjoy man lang sa pagkain mo, sa pag-inom mo. Ibig sabihin, yung mga ordinaryong pagpapala na tuwi-tuwi na itinatanggap mo sa Diyos, matuto kang magalak sa mga bagay na yun. Kaloob daw iyon ng Diyos. Have you been living in constant anxiety that you probably even have to rush every meal? No joy? Rejoice is what Ecclesiastes says about your responsible activity of the present. And then he uses the word do good. To do good requires an others-oriented mindset, which is again an antidote to preoccupation with what's going to happen. What's going to happen to me? Eh, ang isipin mo ay anong magagawa mong mabuti sa iba? There is a very good version of this in the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, remember, which of you, Jesus said, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Sino sa inyo na sa pamamagitan ng pagkaligalig ay makadaragdag ng isang pulgada man lamang sa inyong taas? Iniisip ko kung minsan habang nagsasalita ang Panginoon dito ay inakbay niya siguro yung alagad na pinakapandak. Sino sa inyo ang makadaragdag? The point is, worry just doesn't make sense. Instead of that, what did Jesus say? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, I ask you, have you enjoyed the blessing of God this week? And have you served someone this week? Those two simple questions. Every day you ask yourself, have I enjoyed God's blessing today? Have I served someone today? To put away the preoccupation with what's going to happen to me and the anxiety that it brings. So the challenge to us is come back to this God who is the same from beginning to end. And that means for us accountability to Him. Verse 15, that which is has already been. And what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. And this is a verse that's so difficult to understand. I consulted several commentaries and I got several answers to my questions. I think the sense is not that there is an unending cycle, but rather the sense is that God has dealt with it over and over since. Sa atin, parang bago. Sa atin, parang bakit ako? Ang dating sa atin ng mga nangyayari ay napakabigat sa akin. But when you bring it to God, who is this God? He has dealt with it before. You're not the first one. You're not the only one. What has been, what is, has already been. What will be, has already been. And the point is that God has always been there. When you think that what you're going through is something so uniquely hard, difficult, you're the only one, but ako sinisingle out ng Panginoon, I remember that God has dealt with it before. Others have been like you. And God has proven himself faithful. God has proven himself good to his people. So God's presence from beginning to end means he has been active in the past, present, and he controls the future. We think the only way to make sense is know about the future. No, it means you go back to God. The God who owns the beginning and the end. The God who has always been there. The God who has dealt with a Calvin and an Owen. And now he's dealing with you. From the Christian standpoint, in fact, this is the most comforting. Because we can look back to God's greatest work in the past. And that greatest work of God in the past is that which settles everything of our future for all eternity. And I'm referring, of course, to the cross. Tayo ay makababalik tanaw sa pinakamabuting ginawa ng Diyos sa nakalipas. At sa pamagitan ng nakalipas na yon ay ginarantiyahan ng Panginoon ang ating lahat ng hinaharap sa pangwalang hanggan. Kaya't muli kong pamanhik sa iyo na ilakip mo ang iyong sarili sa pananampalataya kay Kristo sa kanyang krus. At hindi mo man alam ang mga mangyayari sa hinaharap, the cross guarantees the future for all eternity for every believer in Jesus Christ. So come to Him. And you need not know the future, but the cross settles eternity. And unless you are united in faith to the past of the cross, nothing settles the eternity put in your heart. And you may try everything to extinguish it. You may try amusement, and you may try workaholism. Try to extinguish the sense of eternity, but that does not cancel out eternity itself. You will face it, you will enter into it when you die. And what you need is the guarantee of the cross. Come to Christ. Cast yourself upon Him in faith. That's what guarantees eternity. And think of eternity when you have to deal with the afflictions of time. Paul said, the light affliction of this time is not to be compared to the glory of eternity. That's the perspective of the Christian. I was reading this week the life of an evangelist, Vance Havner. He wrote an account of the death of his wife. And he wrote a book with the title, it's quite puzzling, Playing Marbles with Diamonds. Meaning some precious truths we trivialize. That's what we do to concepts of eternity. It's a diamond and then we play marbles with it. We trivialize it. Let me read what Vance Havner said during the time that it came as a shock to him that his wife has died. He said, I think of a year that started out so pleasantly for my beloved and me. We had made plans for delightful months ahead together. Instead, I sat by her bedside and watched her die of an unusual disease. She expected to be healed, but she died. Now all hopes of a happy old age together are dashed to the ground. I plod alone with the other half of my life on the other side of death. My hand reaches for another hand, now vanished. And I listen at night for the sound of a voice that is still. And I am tempted 1,000 times to ask my God why. He tried to enter into the feelings of one who has lost his beloved. But the end paragraph of the book puts it this way. You need never ask why, because Calvary covers it all. When before the throne we stand in Him complete, all the riddles that puzzle us here will fall into place, and we shall know in fulfillment what we now believe in faith, that all things work together for good in His eternal purpose. No longer will we cry, "My God, why?" Instead, "Alas," will become "Alleluia." All question marks will be straightened into exclamation points. Sorrow will change to singing, and pain will be lost in praise. Thus the man who learned in the most painful process that he had gone through to think of eternity in order to bear the afflictions of time. So here we are, the meeting point of eternity and brevity. How do we address it? Well, our last hymn tells us how. "I know who holds the future." Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo, Panginoon, na tanggapin namin ang karunungan na ibinabahagi ng aming mga talatang pinagbulayan, na ang tao sa kanyang pagkalalang ay pinagsalubong ang kawalang hanggan at ang kaiklian ng buhay. And so we are puzzled by the fact that we crave knowledge of our future. We plan for it. And yet as creatures of brevity, our knowledge is so limited. We cannot even know what a few hours from now will transpire. And so in this puzzle of having to deal with eternity and yet grappling with brevity, it is a challenge for us to submit to You, to acknowledge that it is You who weave the tapestry of our lives, and the things that we do not know, the events that will transpire that we cannot divine, we pray, Lord, we will learn to submit to You. For Your work is thorough, that whatever You do, nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. And You do it that men should fear before You. And so help us, Lord, to examine our lives and see the place of admiration of our God, worship of our God. And sometimes we can be so preoccupied with things of this world in an attempt to extinguish the sense of eternity. By some, they are dehumanizing themselves, for it is human to sense eternity. And so we pray for those who probably are filling their lives with things that will crowd out the thought of eternity, and yet no matter how they remove eternity from their thoughts, eternity is where they are going. And the only way to guarantee that is the greatest of the past, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask, Lord, that You will make this truly meaningful to those who still have to grapple and to guarantee their eternity. Help us, Lord, to take the opportunity to live the present, no matter our inability to know the future. Yet You have given us the responsibility to rejoice in Your blessings and to do good by being preoccupied with what we can do for others. And help us to bear in mind that we are dealing with a God who has been there from beginning to end. That what is has already been. What will be has already been. Which means that You've been dealing with all these things before. We are not the first ones. And sometimes it feels to us like we're the only ones, when You are the expert. You know all about these things. And what You want us to do is to learn to have that sense of accountability to You for all that we do. So grant, O Lord, that as we deal with the puzzle of eternity that meets our brevity, we will learn to hold fast to this as our object of faith, that we know You hold the future, And no matter what we do not know, we can trust you through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray all these things. Amen.